Let's get started. Obviously, I'm sure the other speakers have referenced this, but the events of earlier this evening and on Chol HaMoed have certainly put a significant damper on the simcha that we would otherwise naturally be feeling on Chol HaMoed's Sukkos. To be here in Yer Atika, so many footsteps from the Kotel, just hours after, as far as I know, it was two Jews who were murdered not that far from here, is really kind of heart-wrenching. And it should give us pause, no question about it. On the other hand, on some level, my topic choice couldn't have been more perfect in terms of doing a din v'cheshbon. Din v'cheshbon is a colloquial term that we often use after tragic events when we think about kind of taking stock. There are some source sheets there if you'd like to take one. Taking stock of events. And when bad things happen, and even though that's not what I had in mind a few weeks ago when I gave Rabbi Terrigan my topic, unfortunately, its relevance is painful. And I'm happy that we can do our small part and dedicate our Torah, L'ilui Nishmasam, not only of the Kedoshim, the two men who were killed tonight, but also, of course, of the Henkin family, husband and wife, who were killed just a few days ago. The hour is late, it is the middle of the night, so I know you guys are tired. If you need to stand up, if you need to do calisthenics in the middle of the shiur, I totally understand. Certainly standing is easy. I've given many shiurim over the years at late hours, and I always say it's easier to give the shiur than it is to stay focused listening, because I can't like fall asleep in the middle. Trust me, I can't do that. I'm not that talented. So I understand if anyone is tired or distracted, but do your best, because I think it's an important topic. While obviously I didn't have in mind, God forbid, these terrible events when we're picking the topic, I did have in mind one of the motifs of Hoshana Rabbah, which is kind of a Kabbalistic idea that Hoshana Rabbah is also a day of judgment. And we know the Chazmah were the Kittel and the Nigun and the Nusach of Davening. Come on and welcome. There's some source sheets in the back. And not only is Hoshana Rabbah itself a day of judgment and of serious thought, kind of a, I would say somber, but a sobering counterweight to the otherwise great simcha of Sukkot, and of course what we're about to have was Simchas Torah, but in fact we just read Koheles today, and we know that Koheles itself is kind of serious, to put it mildly, and also speaks a lot about judgment. If you peek on the back of your sheet for a moment at source number 11, from the end of Koheles, we have the Pasuk in Perek Yud Bet, where the Megillah tells us that we will one day have to be Yaviba Mishpat. We will have to stand before God and bring our judgment, Al Kol Ne'alam, on everything, including the hidden things, things that we might not have known about, in Tov Imra, whether they're good or whether they're bad. And as kind of a launching point, I guess I would just ask a very simple question. What does that mean? I mean, how could that be? How is that fair? If I know about something that I did good, I would certainly hope to be rewarded for it. Maybe you'll even tell me that I might have done something good that I didn't even realize I did good. I'm happy to take credit for that too. I'm not picky. But why should I be punished? What does the Megillah mean? What does Shlomo Melech mean? What does Koheles mean when it says that we will be punished on a davara which is ne'alam? So it can't mean that, like, you know, when I'm in my room, please feel free, there's a source sheet there. I think we have still enough. Okay, if anyone more comes, I have some more up front. It can't mean Deber Ne'alam from other people, right? That cannot mean, right? If I am in the privacy of my own room and I do something wrong, I'm going to get punished. That doesn't need a separate pasuk. That's not a chiddush. The fact that other people don't know, that's not a chiddush. On the contrary, that's one of the main elements of the Yetzer Hara, to convince you that you don't see any human eyes. Forget about the big eye in the sky. Well, if there's no one looking, I could do something wrong. Obviously, that's not a chiddush. I have to answer for those types of averus, right? You know, we wouldn't do or look at certain things, right? If the computer is in the middle of the library in our local high school, right, we're going to look at certain websites. When I'm on my phone in my room, I think I can look at other things. We never look at them in public, but I look at them in private. That's an important phenomenon which needs to be discussed, and that's definitely something we need to do tshuva for. But that's not what this pasuk in Koheles is talking about. Al Deber Ne'alam means from our. And that begs the question, how could I get punished? How could I be Al Deber Yavim Mishpat? That one day I'm going to have to answer for, I'm going to have to give judgment, on even the hidden things, things I didn't even know about. So perhaps our topic, in part, can also answer that question. But of course, the term din v'cheshbon, which again, whether we're using it in the technical sense or in the more colloquial sense, but the origins of the term come from the well-known Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and that's in source number one. The Mishnah there in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph of Avos, this is source number one, teaches us a very famous saying from Akiva ben Mahalel, who tells us that we have to keep in mind three things so that we should never come to sin. What's that? Number one, da me'ayin basa. Remember where you come from, your humble beginnings. Number two, ul'ana taholech. Where will you end up going? Again, a lesson in humility, right? We think we're big and strong and powerful and wealthy, and one day we're all going to be, as the continuation of the Mishnah says, rima batoleya, right? Just worm food at some point, right? So every now and then it's good to remember that. It keeps us honest and hopefully on the straight and narrow. And then says the Mishnah, the third thing, v'lifne mi'ata asid din litain din v'cheshbon. Before whom? Now, I want someone to help translate that for me. Before whom? One day. The whom I know obviously is Hashem. That's easy. Before whom I'm going to have to give a din v'cheshbon. Someone please translate those phrases. What does that mean, din v'cheshbon? Anyone know? This is actually, it's as easy as it seems. This is not a trick question. The complicated part we'll get to in a minute. But this is an easy part. What does the words mean? What is din v'cheshbon? Anyone have any idea? So din is the easiest part of that, okay. I'll have judgment, din. I'll have to stand before God in judgment. What's cheshbon? Calculation. Anyone have any other good English words who's good with vocabulary? Huh? Accounting, reckoning. Now, if you think about the term cheshbon in the context of judgment, what do you think that, let's put it now, not take it with a dictionary, we're not translating the word. But what do you think we have in mind? What are we talking about? What is it in the context of din? What is a cheshbon? What do you think that means? Yes.
Counting your sins and your good deeds and things
like that. So either by what you mean?
Counting, each one up. So how?
Oh, so just it's the tabulation. Yeah. Okay, that's a possibility. What else? What else might it mean?
Justification.
Accounting can also mean, in the technical sense, literally numeric accounting. But sometimes, you know, you might have someone says, "Give me an accounting of your actions, an accounting of your whereabouts." So what do we mean by that? Obviously, there we mean something closer to what Gedaliah said. We mean explanation, a justification. Are there any mitigating circumstances? Present all the facts into evidence. However, if that would be the explanation, then we have an obvious problem with the sequencing of the Mishnah. Because what, in a typical, imagine now a human court case, what comes first, the din or the cheshbon? Obviously, the cheshbon, right? We do an accounting. Any judge worth his salt will get all of the facts and then render a din. And yet, in Akiva ben Mahalel's famous formulation, it's who are we, meaning in front of God, going to have to one day give a din v'cheshbon. So what does that mean? So clearly, what I'm trying to illustrate, and I think this question is just a one way of scratching beneath the surface, is that there's more to these terms than meet the eye. And in fact, over the centuries, various mefarshim have struggled and presented very creative and insightful and I think very meaningful and inspirational and significant explanations and understandings of this phrase, each of which can serve to give us both pause, a little fear in our life is not a bad thing every now and then, but also, I think, a heavy dose as well of inspiration. Would you like to join us? That's not backwards, thank you. So, I want to spend the bulk of the shiur focusing on two explanations, but start off with a first. Altogether, we'll share three. We'll spend most of the time on the last two, but just so you should know, there's a third explanation, which I'll mention first, and that's in source number two. The Medrash Shmuel, if you're not familiar with the Sefer, you should become familiar with it. It's a Likut, it's a classical collection of commentaries on Pirkei Avos, the Midrash Shmuel. So the Midrash Shmuel on our Mishnah, on source number two, says, you know what Din V'cheshbon is? It's as follows. He says, Lefisha Ha'adam Kishaholech Lebeis Olamo. They're both talking about after you've died, which is the context of the Mishnah. Kodem Sheiten HaCheshbon Modiim Lo, excuse me, Kol Dine HaTorah. He changes around the meaning completely. What's din? Din are the dinim. In other words, Hashem is going to go through all the dinim of the Torah with you. After he goes through all of Hilchos Shabbos, and Hilchos Kashrus, and Hilchos Nida, and Hilchos Shmita, and Hilchos Kilayim, and Hilchos X, Y, and Z, he goes through all the halachos, then says the Medrash Shmuel, afterwards, they'll ask you a question. Look at the second line, source number two. Shalim, ha'osa malacha b'shabbos ma'idino, u'meshiv b'skila. So now that you've gotten a whole shear from the number one Rebbe, you're in the top shear. You always wanted to meet the top shear. Well, you got it. Hashem's going to give you all the details. And then he's going to ask you, so tell me, based on what I've taught you, what happens if you're Mechal Shabbos? And you'll say, well, Meshiv B'Skila. I guess you get really punished. Then they'll go through all the Averos that you did. So one second. You know, he's looking on the computer, September 2015. So what if a person, say, you, one day did, and you can fill in the blank, I'll take an example which I know is not relevant. Ate a cheeseburger. Chalamayit Sukkis, 2015. Well, now that you taught me all the dinim, I can tell you that person did such and such an avera. This is the punishment. Hashem is going to go through all of your actions, but before you have any opportunity to give any excuses, first Hashem is going to tell you all the halachos. And then you, he says, that's what cheshbon means. First din, Hashem will give you all the dinim, and then he'll ask you, I'm not going to judge you. You do it for me. You do it for yourself. Let's make a cheshbon. In light of all the dinim, let's do a calculation. So how did you do? In other words, ignorance, by that point, will not be such a justification. Right? So many times, Mishnah Berurah makes this point very famously in the context of Hilchos Shabbos. There are so many people who are Mechalel Shabbos, like the scarlet letter, Mechalel Shabbos. Not because they drove on Shabbos, that we know we can't do. But they do so many other things they don't even know about because they never learned the halachos. They didn't bother to open up a Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. There was a Chug on Hilchos Shabbos when they were in Yeshiva. I'm going to do more Bakiyas. I want to do Tanakh Yomi. They didn't go. They don't know the halachos. So Hashem's going to give you a din. He's going to teach you all the dinim. And now you make a cheshbon of just what kind of person you were, what kind of Jew you were. Right? The more you know it in advance, the better you will do on that final Bechina. Anyway, that's the very sobering, serious explanation of the Medrash Shmuel. So it's a very fascinating idea. It's not the way we usually imagine the big judgment in the sky taking place. But that's the Chiddush of the Medrash Shmuel. Din is the actual dinim. Hashem's going to review them with us. Cheshbon! Now let's make an accounting of how your life was in light of those dinim, now that facts are all on the table. Yes?
What's the benefit of having that?
I think it's, I don't know for sure, but I think perhaps it's educational, right? If you, you know, just do something wrong, or whether you realize it or not, but you know, your parent or the teacher or the rabbi, whoever, just, you know, brings the hammer down on you, so that has one level of impact. But when you are led to understand on your own why your actions were wrong, when you yourself have to say, yes, I was wrong because I didn't follow Simon Chav Tes Siv Beis, I think that is actually much more powerful. It's much more personalizing.
That's only helpful when you can change it once you're...
No. Maybe the part of the judgment and perhaps rehabilitation, the kapara process, right, I would imagine that this would be quite an embarrassing and difficult process. Right? So you're right, it's not, you don't have another life to fix it in. But perhaps that pain and that embarrassment and that oneness with the knowledge is some kind of a tikkun. I'm not sure. It's certainly an intriguing and novel concept, something worth thinking about. Okay, I wanted to just get that on the table, but really that's not the two, there's two other more well-known explanations for Din V'Cheshbon. I think this one is not as well-known, so that's the first benefit of the shiur. Now you know something that most people don't know. Right? Most people do not know this. But I'd rather spend most of the time focusing on things which I think are a little bit more well-known and are more developed and I think can have a lot of impact and inspiration, Jacob, even in this life, let alone as the Medrash Shmuel talks about an insight in the next world. So I would say without any doubt, frankly, to the extent that people are familiar with this topic, this sugya, the most famous, by far, the most well-known explanation of this phrase is that of the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon, as far as I can tell, in only one of the Sifrei Vilna Gaon, most of the works of the Vilna Gaon he didn't write, they were collected after his death, but in the Sifrei of the Vilna Gaon, as far as I'm aware, this only appears once, but it is in one of the Sfarim of the Vilna Gaon, but many, many, many other Mefarshim quote it. And I was struck a number of years ago when I was looking into this topic that perhaps more than any other is in fact a great gadol in his own right, the classical Sefer on Chumash, the Meshech Chachma. So it's an idea which we're going to see from the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon himself says it, but it's developed in a very beautiful way with many, many examples in the writings of the Meshech Chachma. He always tells you that this is an idea of the Vilna Gaon, but he has a lot of his own adaptations and explanations. So let's take a look at source number 3. This is, again, as far as I know, this is the source that we have for this idea in the works of the Vilna Gaon himself, in the Shnos Eliyahu. Says the Vilna Gaon, Din v'cheshbon, the Mishnah said Din v'cheshbon. What are those words mean? So get a load of this. Din, shedonin oso, al sh'avar aveir. Now it goes back at least to the way we usually imagine din. Not like we saw about giving you the halachos. Din, you are judged. Says the Vilna Gaon, you are going to have to stand before God and you will answer in a din-like fashion. That time you didn't eat kosher. That time you didn't make a bracha. That you weren't good. Didn't do kibbutz av aim. Those million times you spoke lashon hara. Those are all the dinim that you'll have to answer for. Okay. So what's cheshbon? Middle of the first line. Cheshbon who? Hold on to your seats. Who b'shah she'osa ha'avera, but also shah hayayachol la'asos mitzvah o lilmod. Not only are you going to have to answer for the averos that you did, averos take place in real time. For every avera you did, there was something else more positive and productive you could have been doing at that time. Says the Vilna Gaon, ultimately, may not be as bad, this is me speaking now, but I think it's intuitive, maybe that's not as bad as the actual cheeseburger, but that time you went to McDonald's and ordered the cheeseburger and sat down, maybe the whole thing took 15 minutes. But not only are you going to have to answer for the avera that you did, but in those 20 minutes you could have been doing who knows how many mitzvos. You could have been learning Torah, doing chesed, saying Tehillim, davening. That din v'cheshbon. Let me just finish it. It's just a short piece, then I'll take your question. He continues. Zeo cheshbon shemachash min ha'itiv ha'regoyim. Even the seconds. And then, if you know anything about the Vilna Gaon's life, he measured seconds. He was makbid on everything. Shehayu l'reik, that were just wasted, flushed down the toilet. You didn't do good things you could have done. U'ma'anishim oso al zeh, and you're punished on that. Melvad ha'onshim al avera gufei. So the Vilna Gaon has taken the concept of being judged and expanded it tremendously. You thought you only had to feel bad about, and you were going to have to answer for the actual averos that you did. And by actual averos, I mean non-mitzvot. So if you didn't put on tefillin, or you didn't daven one day, so that's unavera in our terminology. Not only are you going to have to answer for that, says the Vilna Gaon, but also din. The cheshbon, all that time when not only were you doing something wrong, but you could have been doing something right. If that is the din v'cheshbon, says the Vilna Gaon. So now we understand why din comes first. That's the primary judgment. Can I give them cheap? Gedalia, you have a job. You're falling asleep on the job. So not only is that a din that you'll have to answer for, but also a cheshbon. Secondarily, there's the ripple effect. Not only did you do an avera, but you didn't use the opportunity, the time, the resources to do a mitzvah. Yes, question.
Yeah, maybe I'm not familiar enough with the concept, but this really seems that shouldn't Din V'cheshbon sort of imply that you also your attributes, your mitzvah, the positive things you do would have been taken into account as well?
Yes, so that's all part of Din.
It just seems to be like
that's all part of Din. In other words, the Rambam says, I think what you're alluding to, or whether you realize it or not, but that certainly, as much as we can understand Hashem's judgment, which the Rambam says we can't, But the Rambam says, even obviously part of the reason why we can't understand Hashem's judgment is because there's so many millions of factors, some of which you alluded to, some of which are beyond our even our own awareness, that Hashem might take into account. So yes, throughout the grill, I don't think the Vilna Gaon is denying that not only do you have mitzvos which are balanced, but there's various mitigating factors.
I think in what context is he focusing on it? Deen Mishkron is always like such a negative thing.
Again, he's highlighting the negative, that's true, and I think that really comes out of the context of the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. It's certainly when the Mishnah says you should remember three things and you'll never sin, it doesn't mean think about the din when you're going to get rewarded for all the good things that you did. The context implied is you should be scared of averos that you'll do because you're going to have to answer for them. That's the context of the Mishnah, and that's what the Vilna Gaon is working off of. But again, I don't think he denies, I know. Ein tzel shel safek, without any doubt. Of course you're going to get rewarded for the good things, only Gaon is aware of, but I would also assume that the Vilna Gaon will be in total agreement that there's a million mitigating factors that will also have to be brought into play. But the point of the Vilna Gaon, and this is his chiddush, this is the breakthrough, is that all of that is subsumed under din. That's a pretty big category. Most people, I would say everyone at this table a minute and a half ago, would have thought that that was it. What else could there be? Says the Vilna Gaon, outside of that bubble, however you want to expand its contours to include din, beyond that is something called cheshbon. And what is cheshbon? So that, again, that's not relevant to the good things you did, because then you were doing good things. But it is relevant to the mistakes that you made, which of course we all make pretty much every day, which is that not only are they mistakes that you'll have to answer for, v'hayim shamoa, sometimes we get rewarded, sometimes we get punished, but you're going to also have to answer for the wasted opportunity. Time being one that he focuses on, but you could add resources and other things. If you spend money on a Dvar Avera, that money could have been used for a Dvar Mitzvah. All those kind of things. Now, in America, we would almost call that double jeopardy, right? You're getting punished twice for the same thing. Says the Vilna Gaon, yes. That's the Chiddush. Not only are you getting punished for the thing you did wrong, you're getting punished for the opportunity or resources, etc., that were squandered and not used for good. That's expansion. And that is something that you also have to take responsibility for. The wasted potential. Yes?
Could you apply that to good things as well? Because you could say that there might be an opportunity that you could have done a layer of it instead, you chose to go out of your way and do a mitzvah instead.
Yes, so I think, again, that when you get rewarded for your mitzvahs, which of course you will, we all will, I think that's what I said, Hashem will take into account all of the factors. So just like when you do an Avera, maybe I will get punished more because I have less of an excuse, but someone else who maybe has a less of an education, or maybe Hashem just knows you have a different Yetzirah than me, so maybe that'll be lessening your Avera. So too, I think, yes, certain people, I'll give you as an example, we're using the cheeseburger analogy, right? So I have to be honest with you, I've never eaten a cheeseburger in my life. And now that I got that off my chest, I really expect to be rewarded incredibly minimally for that. Why? Because of my parents, my family, my education, and just my nature, above and above all that, I have almost zero Yetzer Hara for a cheeseburger. I mean, like really much, like zero. Virtually. I don't think there's ever been a day in my life where I wanted to have that cheeseburger, but overcame the Yetzer Hara and didn't do it. So I think for somebody like me, that deserves almost no credit. But there are plenty of people, even if they were born from, who really, really wish they could eat it. Kavachomer u ben benosh. Kavachomer, someone who once tasted Tom Chait, that had the cheeseburger and liked it, and now gave it up. That person will be for sure. You don't just look at two people and say, he kept kosher. No question that those other circumstances can either mitigate the avers that we do, or certainly give us extra oomph in our mitzvos. I think that's for sure true. Again, the chiddush of the Vilna Gaon, as I understand it, is that all of those things, though, are still in the din. Again, your din is not the same din as me. That's why the Rambam says we can never understand. It's not possible to really know and weigh our mitzvahs and averos because only Hashem knows what factors are to be taken into account under which proportion and what weight. But I'm saying that's all the din because that is what I did or didn't do. Meaning, didn't do, meaning I didn't put on tefillin, let's say. Or I did do, I ate treif. But beyond all that, it never would have entered my mind in a million years to think, not only am I going to get punished for eating the cheeseburger, but I'm going to get punished because in those 15 minutes I could have been learning. And I'm getting punished on Bittul Torah for that. I could have done chesed. I'm getting... That's the chiddush of the Vilna Gaon. Yeah.
Just to check, I'm still too obvious a point, but I guess the Vilna Gaon is also under the cheshbon is also when you did a mitzvah, you could do the mitzvah better.
Maybe. He didn't say that, but yeah, fair enough. I was thinking before, I didn't want to say it, but since you mentioned it, there's a famous idea. A lot of Mefarshim speak about this. This is good for you. I'll give you the yeshiva guy example, even though you're giving a broader example, but I'll give it a more yeshiva guy example. Learning Torah. This is a complicated topic. This would be its own shir, but I'll just drop the bomb. The Ar Mefarshim, the Ar Mekoros, to speak about getting punished for kind of a bittul Torah if you're learning at a lower level than you could. You're learning! But you have the koach, intellectually and maybe just physically, you have energy at 2 in the afternoon, you could be learning b'iyun, but you decide you're going to learn b'kiyus. Or if you want me to really be controversial, I'm not in gush now, you're learning Tanakh, and you could be learning Gemara. Right? Maybe. You're learning Tanakh b'iyun, instead of learning it, but you could be learning something else. You're learning b'kiyus, you could be learning b'iyun. You're learning Musar, you could have been learning something else. So how you figure that out, again, that's its own complicated shir. But the Ar Mefarshim that speak about a type of bittul Torah, even when you're learning, if you could have been learning at a higher level. So that's similar to what you said. I don't know if that if the Vilna Gaon would consider that Parashat or not, but it certainly is parallel. You're right. Okay? Now I mentioned that the Meshter Chachma, or Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, really takes this idea of the Vilna Gaon and runs with it. So let's take a look at a few of the examples, and then we'll move on to the, because there's still one more idea we need to see, which we haven't even gotten to yet. So take a look at the Meshech Chachma, source number 4. See, right away in the first line, source 4, he quotes the Vilna Gaon, right away. And then he says, second line, Ulefizeh, Tismar Sa'aras Enosh B'yom HaKippurim. He says, basically, in light of all that, we should really be scared about Yom Kippur. What does it mean, scared? Because Yom Kippur is a tremendous opportunity. If Yom Kippur is a day in which we can achieve kapara, imkein, where it's underlined, kama godol hacheshbon should be yom shenena bo gam hayachid. In other words, if Hashem gave us a gift called Yom Kippur, so if we use it, amazing. What if you didn't take advantage of Yom Kippur? You fasted, of course, because who doesn't fast? But you spent the time in your room, or even if you were in the base medrash or the shul, you were spacing out. Your Sahara told you it's better to read instead of you're reading one of those biographies or something, instead of actually davening. You didn't use Yom Kippur for what it was meant to be. Says the Meshech Chachma, based on the Vilna Gaon, you'll have to answer for that. What do you mean? What did I do wrong? It's not what you did wrong, it's what you didn't do right. That would be part of the cheshbon. If it's such an opportunity to do im chalila lo asa tshuva, yuchalios ha'onesh al ha'cheshbon. Here he says it in the middle, ha'eder asiyaso ha'tshuva. Not doing tshuva. When you have such an opportunity, a golden opportunity, Hashem is extending his hand to you. Dear Shu Hashem behimatzo, he's here. And you didn't take advantage of it, that would be a form of cheshbon, which you would have to answer to, because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. Gedalia, you've fallen asleep again. I'm just kidding, you're learning. Gedalia is learning, for the record. Okay. Source number 5. Amazing, very famous Meshech Chachma. Source number 5, the Meshech Chachma, notes the following anomaly. Twice, in Sefer Dvarim, we have a pasuk that tells us, Re'eh, I am placing before you. However, as the Meshech Chachma notes, in Parshas Re'eh, what does it say? I'm putting before you bracha and klala. The choice is yours. You can go for the blessing, you can go for the curse. Re'eh, nasat lefnechem hayom, bracha uklala. However, not that long later in Sefer Dvarim, what do we say? Top line of source number 5. Re'ei nasati lefanecha hayom esa chayim ves hatov es hamaves es hara. Ask the Meshech Chachma in essence. Whoa! What happened? I thought the stakes were blessing and curse. A few prakim later in Sefer Devarim, and all of a sudden the stakes are life and death. Chayimaves. I thought it was just blessing and curse. What changed so much? Anyone know? What changed so much? Says the Meshech Chachma one thing. In Parshas Vayelech, without a pause, Parshas Nitzav Vayelech, What happened? The Pasuk he's commenting on. Ki ha mitzvah hazos, which the Meshech Chachma, based on the Ramban and the Sforno, understands, is referring to tshuva. Tshuva. What happened in between Re'ei the first time and Re'ei the second time? We were introduced to tshuva. That changes everything. Tell me, based on what we're saying, someone just anticipate, what is the rest of the Meshech Chachma? Why does this make sense? Why does the introduction to tshuva change the stakes of the first Re'ei to the second Re'ei? How does that make any sense according to Alpi the Vilna Gaon? Someone, wake up! What were you going to say?
You missed the opportunity.
England, that's good. You guys know each other?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, that's a classic American thing to say, right? Everyone from England must know each other. Yeah, everyone from New York, you probably know each other. Yeah. Well, not from New York, okay? Not all of America is New York. Anyway, I digress. Just Hoshana Rabbah night, 2 in the morning, you got to do everything I can. At some point I'll stand on a chair, I'll eat paper, I'll do all sorts of crazy things. Anyway, okay? Says the Meshech Chachma, brilliant. You know the difference between the first ray and the second ray? Tshuva. Until there was tshuva, you still had a choice. Bracha or klala, two roads in front of you. But if you messed up, it's bad. It's not so bad. It's just klala. But once Hashem introduces tshuva, so now not only should I do the right thing at first, worst comes to worst, I drop the ball. I could do tshuva. Says Meshech Chachma, what is the second ray? Life and death. That's someone who had an opportunity for tshuva and didn't even do that. So you thought you spent your whole life, you're on your deathbed, and you remember that Chol HaMoed Sukkos when you had the cheeseburger, and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to have to give a din on my cheeseburger. And now I learned, maybe I would have thought, if I only learned the Vilna Gaon, in the 15 minutes I was in that treif restaurant, I could have been learning, Masil Sasharim, I could have been doing Chesed, I've been calling my parents and keeping Av Aim. Says the Meshech Chachma, another kind of cheshbon. You had your whole life to do tshuva. Hashem gave you the opportunity to tshuva. Not doing tshuva is something you'll have to answer for in terms of the wasted opportunity. That's another form of the cheshbon you'll have to answer to. And as your parents have taught you since you were, an adolescent or a younger teenager, with greater opportunities come greater responsibilities. Says the Meshech Chachma, if I've introduced tshuva into the mix, not taking advantage of that means that the cheeseburger sin is much worse than it would have been otherwise. Not only did you do the wrong thing, you had a chance to rectify it and you didn't do it. That's Re'ei Ashnochi Nesati Lefnechem Hachayim and Moves. That's life and death. That's not just Bracha and Klola. I'll just mention one other thing and then we'll wrap up this basic section, which is source number 6. Another example of the Meshech Chachma, here using some very brilliant, he's using the Vilna Gaon's Machshava idea to explain another sensitivity in the reading of the Psukim. Source number 6, Parshas Ha'azinu, is talking about Moshe's punishment for the Mei Meriva. And what does the Pasuk say? In two halves of the Pasuk, in the beginning it talks about Moshe being punished. Why? Source number 6, Al Asher Ma'altem. Anyone translate Ma'altem? Like Ela? What is the Ela? Disloyal, somehow rebelled, traitorous, something like that. Anyone translate Ma'altem? You okay with that? Okay. But the Pasuk continues, the Meshech Chachma quotes at the end of the line, Al Asher Lo Kidashtem Osi. Moshe, you're punished because you didn't sanctify my name. So in essence, the Meshech Chachma is bothered. What's the difference? Right? Since we're little kids, what were we taught about Moshe and the water? Hashem told him to speak to the rock. He hit the rock. He didn't listen to Hashem. And he missed an opportunity to create, right? So that's, look, you say one, you don't need both. But now, by now it should be obvious. What's the Meshech Chachma do? He says, no, there's two phrases. Because Moshe, it's scary to think about this, but at least we're in the same company as Moshe. Not only are we, but it's also Moshe. Moshe is going to get punished twice for hitting the rock. Why twice? Number one, he says, Asher alma, Asher ma'altem, zu b'chinas din, Asher ma'alo. Hashem tells you to put on tefillin, you don't put on tefillin, you're going to get punished. Hashem tells you to speak to the rock, you don't speak to the rock, you get punished. That's on your action. That's the din. al asher lo kidashtem osi zu b'chinas cheshbon masha hayu yecholim lekadesh shmo yizbarach. The wasted opportunity. Here he's quoting Rashi from Parshas Chukas. The Moshe missed an opportunity to create a bigger Kiddush Hashem. It's hard for us to relate to because I don't know about you, but if I hit a rock at Hashem's command and water came out, I would think that's a pretty big Kiddush Hashem. How much bigger is speaking to the rock and the water coming out? It's hard to grade those level of miracles, but apparently, at least for Moshe and in the biblical landscape, it was enough of a difference that Moshe was held responsible. So says the Meshech Chochma, this fits in perfectly to the typology of the Vilna Gaon. What he did wrong is din. His missed opportunity was cheshbon. Again, but it's with a nuance. It's not just as the Vilna Gaon himself spoke about. You waste time. Instead of spending time in front of a Gemara, you spent time in front of the TV. That's the Vilna Gaon himself. The Meshech Chochma is expanding, not only in application, but even a little bit in nuance. And not only is it a wasted time, but what if the impact that you had was different? This is more similar to what we said before. I'm learning Bikias instead of Iyun. Something in that realm, right? So the impact is different. Says the Meshech Chochma, that's another form of cheshbon. When we think about lifnei mi, osi ata litein din v'cheshbon, so our second explanation is from the Vilna Gaon, as expanded and applied by the Meshech Chochma. It's not only the things we did wrong, not only the mistakes that we made, but all of the missed opportunities that accompanied those mistakes. Either because we didn't use our time wisely, Hashem gave us money, we didn't use our resources wisely, Hashem gave us talents, we didn't use our talent. Again, at some point in the very near future, you'll have to think about what to do professionally, what to do with your life. At some point, maybe you'll say, you know what, Hashem gave me certain talents, I'm going to use those talents in law. I'm not picking on law, some of my favorite people are lawyers. But I'm going to use those for law. But maybe Hashem knows, I don't know, maybe Hashem knows, that you could have used those same talents to teach Torah. So, did I do anything wrong? No. But in cheshbon, in the wasted opportunity, Hashem gave you a resource, you didn't use it, says the Vilna Gaon, that's part of the din v'cheshbon. We have to think about our time. Are we using our time wisely? Yes, we all need time to chill, to veg, to mellow out. But do we need an hour? Do we need 5 hours? It's one of the most pernicious dangers of the internet. It's not the most obvious danger. Everyone talks about the inappropriate things on the internet. That's obviously a problem. But something more subtle, in a certain sense, more dangerous because of its subtle nature, is the unbelievable, unfathomable waste of time. It used to be, even for good things, I want to read the news. I hold it's a mitzvah to hold on to what's going on in the world. So you want to read the news. But it used to be, whatever city you lived in, at some point the paper ended. It was over. You couldn't turn any more pages. But as we all know, and I'm as guilty of this as the next person, the news is literally endless. You could spend your whole life just clicking to Google searches to, right? So how much time do you really need to look, right? We've all done that. We've sat down, and before we know it, it's a half an hour. Before we know it, it's 4 hours. Right? Now, some of us are more susceptible to that. Some of us are a little bit more disciplined. But that's something for us to think about. The amount of wasted time in our lives is not limited to the internet, but that's clearly energized that problem in our lives. For most of us, certainly for me. Right, to try to, even if you're using it for good things, but not to just endlessly waste your time. Right, there's so many things that we could do. The talents, the kishronot. One little ha'ara about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's past, but maybe you'll remember it for next Yom Kippur. And again, as we said in the beginning, the Kabbalistic idea of Hoshana Rabbah being the end of the din anyway. Anyone know? Again, you have to be awake to think about this, so juggle yourself a little bit. We don't really say all the right. We don't do the alchetz and the ila, right? In the ila, we don't really do slichos or alchetz like that. There's one alchetz. There's one thing we say sorry to Hashem for doing. One alchetz, not in that format, but there's one thing we say sorry for in the ila, in the chazaras shatz in the ila. Anyone know what that is? One thing. Anyone remember? So I first heard this idea years ago in the name of the Chedusha Harim, the Ger Rebbe. But then I found, sometimes we have Shnei Nevi'im or Misnabin, two people come up with the same idea. I'm sure it was independent. But a few years ago when they published the Machzor on Yom Kippur for Rav Soloveitchik, so there in the commentary in the Ila makes the same point. What's the one thing we say we're sorry for? L'man nechtal me'oshek yadeinu. We're apologizing for the oshek. What's oshek? So for our purposes, it's a form of thievery. It's a form of geneva. If you're learning Baba Kama, there are technical differences between this kind of geneva and that kind of geneva. But oshek is like withholding money that you owe people. But it's a type of stealing. Mehechatesi, I didn't steal anything this year. Did you steal anything this past year? Of one thing, we should say, every Jew should say, sorry for geneva. So Sedr Soloveitchik said the Gerebbe the same shot. You know what it's talking about? It's that you stole from Hashem. Not from another person, you stole from Hashem. And what did you steal? You stole the gifts, the talents, the opportunities, and the potential that Hashem gave you. You're wasting opportunities. You're wasting, in certain cases, let's be honest, you're wasting your life. Or at least parts of your life. Talents, resources, opportunities. That said Rav Soloveitchik, that said the Ger Rebbe. And if we were speaking as the Vilna Gaon, we would say, that's our Al-Chet on Cheshbon. All the Al-Chets, from Aleph Ad Tov, Din, 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 Din. Oshek Rag Yadenu, instead of all the Averus that we did, look how much opportunity we had, look how much potential we could have, look how much better we could have been. That is the Cheshbon. Okay? Any questions on this? So we saw the Medrash Shmuel had a really innovative, interesting idea of Din V'Cheshbon. The little shir you're going to get, the shir klali you're going to get up in Shemayim, where you have to do Chazar Shir and give all the answers for your life. But then we saw the more famous idea, number two of the Vilna Gaon. Din is the things you did wrong. Cheshbon is the things you could have done right, but you didn't. So far, so good? Any questions? Okay. The third and final approach I want to share with you comes from the Beis Halevi. That is the first of the Brisker dynasty, of the Soloveitchik dynasty, the first Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. So he has two famous works, his Perush Al HaTorah and his Tshuva Sefer, the Tshuva Beis Halevi. And in the back of the Al HaTorah, he also has Drushos. So in Drush, in a number of Drushos, he discusses this idea, but he also discusses it in Perek Vav of Bereishis Pasuk Yud Bet, which is his commentary on Parshas Noach and the Mabul, the flood. So he starts off by quoting the following pasuk. Take a look at source number 8. Ayar Elokim Esa. Can you get me a cup of water from outside? You saw those things? My voice is not going to make it. Thank you. Ayar Elokim Esa Aretz Vehine Nishchasa Ki Hishchis Kol Basar Es Darko Alam. It's right, a very familiar pasuk, right? The prelude to the flood. Hashem says, I'm looking around and this is disgusting. The whole world is just—it's terrible. It's disgusting. The whole world, kol basar. Now, what is referred to? What is alluded to by this extra phrase of kol basar? The eretz is nishchasa. So, Beis Halevi quotes end of the first line. Very famous medrash. The Medrash Rabbah says, "Amar to kulam kilkulu b'maaseihem." And here, despite the fact that the Torah itself uses the term chamas, which means thieving and robbery, but the Medrash is referring to another thing, which we know the generation, thank you very much. The Medrash is referring to something else, which is that apparently the generation was plagued with rampant sexual deviancy. Not just marrying women you're not allowed to marry, but far more unnatural cohabitation, much more deviant sexual crimes. So the Medrash says, not only were human beings doing all sorts of terrible, terrible gilui arayos, but, says the Medrash, kulam kilkulu b'maaseihem. It wasn't just the human beings, it was the whole world. Hakelev holech achar hazeev, hatarnagol, etc., etc. Ado dechzev, ki hishchis kol basar es darko. Okay, the Medrash says that it wasn't just human beings with all sorts of same gender and human beings and animals, bestiality, but the animals themselves were cross-mating and all sorts of things which, from the Torah's perspective, were considered deviant. Ask the Beis Halevi, an interesting kind of a question. He says, listen, that human beings do things, even if they're gross and deviant and v'chulei, Hashem made us Baalei Bechira. We have a choice. So sometimes we choose to do the right thing, sometimes we choose to do the wrong thing. But, says the Beis Halevi, animals don't have Bechira Chafshis. Animals don't contemplate cognitively things and decide yes or no. Animals are born with a teva, with a nature. It's programmed into their DNA. So says the Beis Halevi, I don't understand. If built into the DNA of a kelev is to mate with another kelev, or with a tarnagol, should mate with another tarnagol, what would have caused the kelev to run after the tarnagol? Again, a human being is given bechira, but animals, we assume, are not punished or rewarded that way because they're not given the choice or the opportunity. They're programmed to do what they do. So either Hashem programmed that way, which presumably he didn't, or if he didn't, why is that such a bad thing that they did it? And moreover, what he's really asking is, how did it even happen to begin with? What would have caused the Tarnagol to start running after Mrs. Kelev, and vice versa? How does that make any sense? So to answer that question, he takes a huge, giant step backwards and gives his whole theory on life. And his theory on life ultimately comes down to Din and Cheshbon. Look at the bottom of the page where it's underlined. Ha'inyan, the Kamo, turning over the page. You see here a lot of selections here from the Beis Halevi. We'll try to give the highlights. Kamod ha'adam poel ba'atzmo aide hergelo b'ma'asav ha'ro'im v'ose ba'atzmo teva shnia, which is interesting, it's a modern kind of a phrase. Lios tiv'o mishtokek v'nimshach la'asos k'masav ha'kodmim. Just like when it comes to human beings. Think about it for yourself, right? You don't have to volunteer any examples. But a particular Avera that you've done over the years, which maybe you, once upon a time you really weren't planning on ever doing, you know it's not right, but what happens after you start doing it? It becomes, to use his term and a phrase that we're familiar with, second nature, right? It becomes habit. Even though, as he says in the second line, even though you know intellectually, cognitively, I shouldn't be doing this. This is not good for me. But why do we do it? Because the more we've done it in the past, that habituates us. That makes it more second nature. Right? Now, there are numerous Mamari Chazal that make this point. But honestly, we just have to be honest in our own lives. We know this to be true, right? Like, all the time. The more, when we go from 0 to 1, that's the most radical difference. And a Avera that we've never done is like taboo. Just doing it once takes the taboo factor away, right? All of a sudden, it's not as scary. Being scary is a good thing because it keeps us away from doing bad things. All of a sudden, you do it once. You put your foot in the water. It's not so cold or hot, whatever metaphor is better for you. You do it a second time. It was easier than doing it the first time, and the third time is easier than the first. And to paraphrase a different statement of Chazal, by the third time it becomes mutter, and by the fourth time it becomes a mitzvah. But this is how our mind works. So says that we know this. So Beis Halevi is going to build, though, a psychological and spiritual migdal, a tower of way of viewing the world based on this phenomenon. Therefore, he says as follows, middle of the second line, Eina manich moso l'shuv. And what happens? The more times you do it, again, obvious from our own experience, the harder it is to do tshuva. Because it's been more and more part of our, what he calls, second nature. Therefore, he says, not therefore, I'm sorry. Therefore, it's hishrish v'gufo, teva shniyah lahara, right? So step one, simple insight, which we all know, the more you do something, the more it becomes second nature, the more natural, the more easy, and the more difficult it's to stop. So far, so good? Shkayach. Now he comes with his chiddush. Kumokein, third line. Come on. 10 more minutes. You could do it. I know some people are very machbid. They want to be the guy who does brachos for everybody. So my contribution is I'll help you sleep a little bit. But try to hold off. See if you can make it 10, 15 more minutes. Says the Beis Halevi, third line. Kumokein, hu poel b'masa b'chol ha'olam ha'tachlon b'chlal. Says the Beis Halevi, just like your actions and your mistakes impact you, the more you do something, once is worse than zero, twice is worse than one. Just like that, kumokein, our actions impact other people and the whole world around us. So right away, before I got to that, I was like, oh, I know what he means. And this is itself very important. If you do something in public, this is very, right, this is the spiritual Yetzer Hara version of what Chazal say was so bad about Amalek. Right? Why does Amalek get the third degree from us? Because Rashi says, famously, before they attacked us, everyone was too scared. Well, what happened once they attacked us? Oh, okay. There's nothing to be scared of. Right? So their actions, so they're punished not only for what they did, but they made us more vulnerable to everyone else. In a spiritual way, says the Beis Halevi, and this is, I think, again, something if we think about, it's obvious. We're all impacted by the environment around us. If no one around us is doing something wrong, the likelihood of us doing it is much, 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 much less. But if even one person does it wrong, let alone if more than one person, our defenses are severely, severely compromised. So it says the Beis Halevi, we are responsible not only for our own actions, but if we do something, Bifarhesia to use his term, that will also impact other people. This is very, very significant. You are tempted to oversleep and not be in davening on time. So that is bad for you in and of itself. But you should know, says the Beis Halevi, by you oversleeping, that is going to weaken minyan attendance for your roommate. That's going to minyan attendance for the guy who usually sits next to you, because he's going to come to davening and you weren't there. Well, if he doesn't have to come to shul, maybe tomorrow I won't come to shul. You're bottling during Seder? It's not enough that you're not learning. Maybe not because of your chavrus is not learning. That's the obvious part. Says the Beis Halevi, you're also responsible for the fact that because of your batala, it's more likely that someone down the row or at the other end of the table will also batal. Let's be honest. We are affected, all of us, by our environment. And if we're in an environment of Kedusha, we'll more likely rise to the occasion. And all it takes is one person to cool it off. And it changes everything. I will give you an example, which I think is probably too extreme for most of the yeshivas that you guys study in and that I teach in. But it's just worth knowing that there is such a mentality out there, and maybe our yeshivas should just strive for this. I'm not sure, but just food for thought. At the end of Kayetzman, right before Tisha B'Av, I heard someone put online a sicha, or he would probably call it a shmuz, from one of the very popular, very, very popular ramim in the Mir Yeshiva, Nissen Kaplan, who is Israeli, if I'm not mistaken, but he actually married an English girl. He married the Rosh Hashiva of Gateshead's daughter, and he learned decent enough English that he gives a very popular shir for the English speakers. I think there's, if I'm not mistaken, well over 100 people in the shir, if I'm not mistaken. A few hundred people in the shir, I'm not sure the shir is. A very big shir. And he's a very popular speaker, very big Talmud Chacham. So he was giving a shmooze, and he was talking about, this was right before, I think, Pesach vacation. And he was talking about people who leave early. You leave early. And he made this point. He didn't quote the Beis Halevi or anything like that, but he was making this point that it's bad if you're weak and you need to leave early. You can't stay to the end of the Zman. That's bad enough for you. It's bad. He says, but he starts to call, if any of you have ever heard him speak, he's not shy about anything in very colorful language. And he's calling, he says, but if you do, you're a bum, you're a this. And like you would think, like, what's so bad? The guy learned for 6 months straight, so he left 2 days before this man. He goes, no. He says, you know what? If you're going to leave this man early, better you didn't even come to the whole man. That was his quote, which got the hair on the back of my neck standing up. Why? He says, because if you leave early, what do you think to the other guys sitting next to you in the row? Right, in the mirror, they have all the chairs with the shtender in. He says, they're going to feel like a loser. What am I doing here? My friends are back in Brooklyn. My friends are back in Lawrence. My friends are in London. What do I need to be here for? He says, the amount of bittul Torah that even one guy leaving early causes. He thought, again, I don't know if he really meant it or he's just getting caught, carried away with it. He says, better you didn't come for the whole Zman than if you leave early. So I don't know if he really meant it. Even if he meant it, I don't know if I agree. Even if I agree, I don't think I could say that in my yeshiva. But basically, he's 100% right. His basic point, that when guys leave early, when guys come late to the Zman, to the Seder, to the week, it affects everybody. It's not only your bittul Torah. It affects everybody. Because no one wants to feel like the loser. We are responsible, says the Beis Levi, for everything around us. But says the Beis Levi, this is not my chiddush because you didn't need me to tell you that. Lo mi bayim b'farhesya. He says more than that, going into the fourth line. Not only that, middle of the fourth line. Ella afilu imchote bitsina beino levein atzmo. This is the Beis HaLevi speaking a little quasi mystically and metaphysically or kabbalistically, however you want to put it. Says the Beis HaLevi, when you do a chait even in private, to be late to morning seder, to skip shachris, to do batala, I wouldn't do that. I know that it would be affecting other people, right? That's like smoking, right? Smoking is not just bad for you; it's secondhand smoke, right? If I eat unhealthy and don't exercise, I only hurt myself. But if I smoke, that's b'farhesya. That's also secondhand smoke. I'm hurting other people. I would never do that. Chas v'shalom. I just want to eat all sorts of unhealthy, fattening foods and not exercise in the privacy of my own room. Says the Beis HaLevi, kind of this mystical, definitely not a rational idea, but he says, even an aver b'tzina will affect other people. How is that possible? So the answer is, not that they see you and get tempted by that, but rather, says the Beis HaLevi, whenever someone does an avera, just like you get more, the more you taste ta'am chet, right? People think, I have a desire to taste the chet, I'll taste it once and that'll satiate me. But we all, if we're honest, know the opposite is true. Each time we do it, we get a more of an appetite for again and again and again. The only way to beat the Yetzer Hara is to starve it to death. The more distant you are from doing the Avera, the less the Yetzer Hara you have for it. You do it once, the craving is unbelievably strong. But says Beis HaLevi, it's not only that true in your own life, says Beis HaLevi, that's true in the world at large. When you do an Avera, that increases the Taiva, the Yetzer Hara, for that quotient, the quotient of that Yetzer Hara in the whole world. You doing that Avera somewhere in London makes it that much more likely that someone in Australia will do the same Avera. The world is interconnected. Now, there are all sorts of scientific and, you know, the butterfly effect, and maybe in science we could give a little bit more of an explanation for this, but I don't think he would want, it can't be reduced to science or rationality. There's clearly a kind of a mystical idea, but the Beis HaLevi is all in. He buys this completely. He is advocating this. Because we have an impact, not only on human beings who don't see our actions, we have an impact on the animals. That's how he explains Parshas Noach. Once beings started getting involved in all these deviant sexual things, so somehow, clearly, again, mystically, that affected the animals as well. There was something in the air of Gilui Arayos, of deviancy, of unnatural activity, which spread throughout the world. And based on all of this, you can now guess, says the Beis HaLevi, take a look, in the fourth paragraph on the backside, ubezeg yisparis ha mishnah ba'avos. This is what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos was talking about. What is din v'cheshbon, where it's underlined in the fourth paragraph? Rak dehem shtei b'chinos. The din who? Ala maisim sh'asu ba'atzmo. You're going to have to answer for your own actions. Cheshbon shemachashvin imo b'cheshbon kama me'achalakim sh'yesh lo b'ma'asav Shel Chaveiro. Not only are you going to be punished for your Bittul Torah, but to some extent, you're responsible for your friend's Bittul Torah too. Now, he's a Baal Bechira. He could choose, despite you guys bottling the whole morning Seder about whatever, the football game yesterday, or whatever the case may be. Football is Tarti Mashma, right? Whether it's a round ball or a different type of, whichever you call football, right? It's the same Yetzer Hara, which I personally am very, very plagued by, but not the round one. Anyway, so they're a Baal Bechira. They could have continued with their head in the Gemara. So maybe 5 to 90% of the responsibility is their own. The 10%, 15% of the responsibility is yours. You are responsible. Again, it's true in the whole world, says the Beis HaLevi, but again, especially to the crowd I'm speaking to. You're in yeshiva. This is a very important thing. I don't care what yeshiva you go to. I'm sure everyone is agreed with what I'm saying. When you go to yeshiva, you become part of something. Within yeshivas, you have a shir. Within your you have chaburas, vadim, chugim, all the different concentric circles that make up your life in yeshiva. But you're part of something. And when you're part of something, every person does their part. Every bit of learning helps raise the level. And every avera, every bittul Torah, every lashon hara, every late sonos, every making fun of a person, whatever things yeshiva guys do, which they shouldn't do, every one of those affect other people too. You're a team. And teams live and die, one way or the other, together. Or as we have a phrase in American politics, they use a phrase, high tides lift all boats. So if you're doing the right thing, everyone gets impacted. There's a ripple effect. Or do the wrong thing, says the Beis HaLevi, that's din v'cheshvan. Now if that's true in general, can you imagine the level of responsibility for a parent? Right? Your parents, all the choices they make. Okay, now you're getting older, you're making your own decisions. But how many of your decisions on so many levels are impacted by the decisions that your parents made? Where to send you to school or not send you to school? What community, what type of Shabbos, what type of person you are is in some level a product of the Shabbos table you grew up on. That was your parents' decision, not yours. Right? Those are all things that we have to answer for. And even though the Beis HaLevi doesn't quote it, but if you read the Beis HaLevi, you have to be reminded of the famous idea. Take a look, we're going to end in 2 minutes. The Gemara Erchin, in source number 9, tells us, famous Gemara, why don't we say Hallel Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Because if the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Meisim are open, how can I say Shira? How can I sing to Hashem? So Pashup Shah in the Gemara is, let's speak about myself. Gottlieb. Right? Somewhere in the Divine Ledger, under G, Gottlieb, comma, David. That's me. Okay? For now. Okay? Of Ramat Beit Shemesh. That's me. I don't think there's anyone else with that name in that city. Okay. So not only am I judged on myself, so I would have thought, what's Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim? Am I going to be put into the Sifrei Chaim or Rachman al-Islan in the Sifrei Meisim? Right? I'm judged. You're all judged. Say, Reb Chaim Volozhiner and others, no, a different shot. Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim means all of us, you and me, everyone here who's alive, that's a Sifrei Chaim. And in the Sifrei Chaim, there's two ledgers. The one that says for Chaim, and the one that says for Mavis. Sir? Okay. I definitely didn't start to late, but okay. Anyway, I'll finish in a minute. Apparently someone else is waiting. I'm sorry. Okay? So, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in that case, not only am I in the Sifrei Chaim, the Mason, every dead person has a, what do you mean? He died 100 years ago. What's Hashem judging him for? He died 100 years ago. How's Hashem judging him? He's judging him because of his impact. He died. He can't do any more mitzvahs or averus himself. But he impacted people. He had children, she had children, students, neighbors. That's the cheshbon that we're talking about. Why is it called Yom HaKippurim? Some of Farshim say in plural, Kippurim. Kapara ala Chaim, but also for the Mason. Why do we give tzedakah on Yisker? Yisker is not... The person died already. They could have died 100 years ago. My Zaidi, my father died 100 years ago. They need a kapara every Yom Kippur because of the impact for good and Rachmana Litzlan for bad. So we don't have time. If you want to take a look at source number 13, the Reb Tzaruk is very beautiful, but apparently I ran out of time. But again, just to recap, we saw three very powerful ideas. The Medrash Shmuel, which says din is you're going to learn all the halachos, and then you're going to give a cheshbon of your own actions in Shemayim. The Vilna Gaon said din is the things you did right or wrong, and cheshbon is the time you could have been using to do better things or the right thing. And the Beis HaLevi said, din is the things you did for yourself, but cheshbon is the impact you have. And again, my final word is, everything we said le'ra about mistakes is equally true halachas kama kama for the good. The good we do has ripple effects just as much, and Hashem should give us all strength and inspiration to lots of good things, so we should have lots of dinim tovim, good judgments, and also a good cheshbon because of our impact on the wider world as well. All right, everyone have a good night, and thank you for coming.